Attorney General Merrick Garland traveled to Ukraine this week to discuss U.S. efforts to help prosecute Russian war criminals. Ukrainian authorities say they are investigating more than 15,000 possible war crimes committed by Russia since the country invaded in February. The U.S. and European countries are also supporting an international criminal court investigation. Nick Schifrin talks to the ICC prosecutor about the pursuit of justice.
The horrors of a horrific war. More than 1,000 Ukrainians in Bucha, bound and executed by Russian soldiers, buried in a mass grave. A theater in Mariupol, destroyed by a direct Russian strike, as hundreds of women and children hid inside. Outside, their city obliterated, many residents forcibly deported into Russia. Kyiv has already found a Russian soldier guilty of killing a Ukrainian citizen and sentenced him to life. But Russian war crimes are widespread and include the killing, torture, and rape of civilians during armed conflict. Those are the violations set out in the 1998 Rome Statute that created the International Criminal Court.
The International Criminal Court is troubling to the United States.
In 2002, President George W. Bush withdrew U.S. support. But today, the U.S. is aiding ICC prosecutor Karim Khan's investigation in Ukraine, where he's working with top prosecutor Irina Venediktova. I spoke to Khan today from The Hague.
When you opened your investigation in Ukraine on February 28th, you said that there was a reasonable basis to believe alleged war crimes and crimes against humanity have been committed. Today, almost 4 months later, do you also believe that possible genocide has been committed?
It's a great question, Nick, but we're at the early stages of an investigation. Analysts, investigators, lawyers, forensic experts have been and are on the ground, and we will, in due course, make determinations, but we can't put the, cart before the horse.
Some of the atrocities we've seen, including Russia forcibly deporting Ukrainian children, are specifically written into the Genocide Convention. Russia trying to destroy entire Ukrainian cities, even if it is early in the investigation. Do those kinds of acts become the basis for a genocide investigation?
We've seen and we're looking into a number of allegations, including the allegations regarding the unlawful transfer of civilians and children in particular, and they could give rise to legal liability on a number of grounds. But I'm not going to start pontificating on what are theoretical possibilities. There is real suffering. That's not theoretical. There's real suffering we're seeing. What we have to do is make sure we put the law into action. The law has to have meaning for those that are in shelters, those that are feeling insecure, those that have lost loved ones are today, as we speak, facing bombardments or different conduct that may constitute international crimes. And I think that's what we're focusing on.
How difficult is it to collect evidence when the crime scene, as you've called it, is a war zone?
Well, it's not a walk in the park. It's difficult because I've got a duty of care to staff, but it's not impossible. We saw effective investigations in the former Yugoslavia. I think we've seen time and time again that there can be accountability. Nobody believed, Nick, that when the guns were firing in the Balkans, that Milosevic, President Milosevic or Karadzic or Mladic would ever be brought to an international court. Nobody thought at the height of the genocide in Rwanda that the former Prime Minister Jean Kabanda and others would be brought to court.
Are you collecting evidence that you believe could lead to any kind of prosecution of President Putin himself or any senior Russian officials around him?
All individuals have responsibilities, from a foot soldier to a general to a civilian superior. Everybody involved in conflict that has that engaged in hostilities or has responsibilities to prevent or punish, they can be held accountable. And one of the legacies, Nick, from Nuremberg was the principle that there's no statute of limitations for war crimes. So I think we need to have the perseverance, but also we need to find new ways, innovative ways, to mobilize the law as soon as possible.
There's no statute of limitations, but there are, of course, jurisdictional questions. You won't prosecute any crime that Ukraine's prosecutor general is prosecuting. You visited her multiple times. You're working closely with her. Have you and her made any kind of decision yet on how to divide some of the prosecutions up?
Yes, we had many discussions. I think Ukraine has a fantastic prosecutor general in Irina Venediktova. If a state is willing and able, they have the first right and indeed the first responsibility to investigate and prosecute crimes on their territory. But we are, given the scale of criminality, which is absolutely massive, whatever the level, we will move forward and we'll have discussions with our Ukrainian counterparts and decide if there is evidence, what is the best forum? Is the best forum the ICC or is it domestic? Or for this nature, the reality, everybody has to have a role.
Let's talk about some of your coordination with the United States and the Biden administration. Senior U.S. officials tell me that you have submitted requests for intelligence. U.S. law prevents any administration from funding the ICC, but it doesn't prevent the U.S. from providing intelligence or people to the ICC. In general, do you believe that the Biden administration is providing as much assistance to you in this investigation as U.S. law allows?
We've had good communications and good meetings with the U.S. Administration. In fact, bipartisan. If we can work together, we can get more justice than we have at the moment. But of course, I think there's always areas for significant improvement. I'm not going to, in an ideal world, I would make many suggestions, but it's not my prerogative. There are conversations going on, and I hope, of course, we can build trust and we can get ever more support from all state parties, including the United States.
Pursuing someone like President Putin or other senior Russian officials could be done by another crime, the crime of aggression. The ICC, of course, does not have jurisdiction over the crime of aggression. But do you support Ukraine using the crime of aggression, which is in its legal code, or the creation of some kind of independent tribunal to use the crime of aggression against senior Russian officials?
In terms of other entities, other mechanisms, I think there needs to be a dose of realism. The ICC has been here for 20 years. It's been historically under-resourced. It has a clear jurisdiction. And there are some perhaps unforeseen consequences or difficulties by creating other mechanisms. I think we should focus on mobilizing what is already here, what already exists. We can all become rather self-indulgent in creating things that we'd like. I'd rather focus on what we have and putting it into action effectively.
Kareem Khan, the International Criminal Court, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.